Welcome to the VO Tourism Podcast. I'm Coach Brenton Williams. The VO Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In today's episode, the founder of Africa's Sports Tourism Week, Prince Deji Ajomelio, Markwell takes a look at the power of sports in driving tourism in Africa. So welcome to the VO Tourism Podcast, and I've been joined by Prince Deji Ajomale. I hope I got your name right. And he's, if I want to use the word, number one, advocate for sports tourism, and the fact that destinations ought to take sport or make sports tourism a key part of their marketing strategies. And I am privileged to have him here on the podcast. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Thank you so much. Can you introduce yourself for those who don't know what you do and who you are? Can you give a brief of exactly what you do?
Okay. I'm Prince Deji Ajomale Mikwad. I'm a sports tourism consultant and the founder of African Sports Tourism Week. Basically, African Sports Tourism Week is the continent's premier and Pan-African sports travel trade event on the continent. It started in 2018 in Lagos, Nigeria. In 2019, it was hosted by the beautiful country of Ghana. Of course, we all know that 2020 is not on the calendar. But in 2021, it held again in Lagos. It's been getting better edition after every edition. So basically, I'm a sports tourism consultant, and I also organize the only Pan-African sports travel trade event on the continent.
Okay, thank you for that introduction. And let's just get started. Last 2 years, you had an event in Ghana, and was it 3 years ago or 2 years ago? Because obviously because of COVID.
So you're 3 years now, 2019. Yes.
Exactly. Now, let's look at, do you think that African destinations are really looking at sports? Because look, Africa is a continent that embraces sports a lot, especially with soccer. And we've had events, the popular event that's, as we know, activity is soccer. Okay. But aside from that, people just look soccer obviously as the sporting part of it or the entertainment part of it. But I've seen that in your event that in 2019, you still, drummed home the idea of the fact that it has the potential to create a lot of wealth, for the sector. And from where you sit and what you've been doing in the last few years, what would be your advice for, destinations? Or if you probably want to set the scene on that, you are allowed to do that, and then you can answer my question.
Okay. So basically, my advice would come from the gospel we've been trying to propagate on the continent. And the gospel is simple. Sport needs to be seen as a component of tourism. We need administrators to first and foremost understand the fact that sport is the biggest excuse for travel in the 21st century. So enough of African destinations, African countries seeing sport as sport and tourism as tourism. No, it's like trying to separate an enviable couple. The very first advice to destinations in Africa would be for them to come to their realization and understanding that sport is a component of tourism. And that means that administrators across both landscapes need to start working together. As a matter of fact, discerning destinations across the world either have sport and culture under same ministry, or they have sport and tourism under same ministry. Russia is a very good example, the last host of the World Cup. It is sport and tourism under same ministry. And that is why the same ministry handled the FIFA World Cup 2018. So it means that the minister of such ministry has to be someone who has inclination towards both sport and tourism, who understands how both landscapes work. So that's another advice to governments across the continent. Tourism is too important. Sport is too important for them to be putting square pegs in round holes. It's time for us to stop that. We need to start putting right people in right places, especially when it comes to sport and tourism. So I would advise destinations across the continent to come to the realization that sport and tourism administrators need each other and they need to be working together. The best way to develop a destination, and I'm going to put this out there. If there's anyone who knows any, we can have this conversation later. There is no major sport destination in the world without a strong economy. And that is to tell you that there is something about sports tourism. There is no major sport destination in the world without a strong economy. US, Spain, England, mention it. Even back in Africa, South Africa, Rwanda, mention it. So there is no major sport destination in the world without a strong economy. And that is traceable to the fact, in part traceable to the fact that sport and tourism stakeholders and administrators work together. So that's one of my major advice to African destinations, that we need to start working together. If not, we'll keep wasting opportunities. And I would like to quickly cite an example. Back home in Nigeria, there is a particular state, one that I would dub the sport destination of Nigeria. And it so saddens me that sport and tourism ministers don't even like relating. And this is a state that has the best stadium in West Africa. But guess what? That same stadium sits there year round, barely utilized. Arguably, Nigeria has the highest number of young and upwardly mobile globetrotters in Africa. These are adventure seekers who go to different destinations of the world seeking adventures. And yet, Nigeria has no single facility or destination for paragliding or bungee jumping. This particular stadium I'm talking about is supposed to be the paragliding and bungee jumping destination. But because sport and tourism ministries do not work together, they don't even relate together. So, and unfortunately, the same state just, started constructing another stadium. They are repeating the same mistake. They will build a stadium. They are building another stadium that will sit there for more than half of the year without being utilized, because we don't understand the fact that when soccer is not in season, a sporting facility can still be raking in income, revenues for the destination, if only sport and tourism ministries are working together. A perfect example is Moses Mabhida Stadium in South Africa, in Durban. When you get to that stadium, you would already feel the presence and touch of tourism. Within that same facility, you can do paragliding, you can do bungee jumping. So which means that when soccer is not in season, that facility doesn't just sit there gathering dust. These are areas Africa needs to start taking a look at. And like I always say, there is nothing that opens a destination to more arrivals and FDI like sports.
Okay. Now I mean, no, finish please.
Okay. And this is how it works. Tourists across the world tourists across the world trust a FIFA, Formula One, and other major sporting bodies. They trust them more than they trust governments across the world. So what that means is that even if they have never heard of your country before, and FIFA wakes up tomorrow morning and says, oh, people, football lovers, please, in 2027, we are inviting you to join us in Rwanda. Even if they never heard of Rwanda before, they will come. Because they already trust FIFA. They believe that for FIFA to have invited them to come and, you know, attend FIFA World Cup in Rwanda, it means that FIFA must have done its due diligence in ensuring that they can get the best experience money can buy when they get to Rwanda, and that they will be safe while at it. So they trust FIFA, they trust Formula One, they trust other major sporting bodies like that. They trust them more than they trust government. So if it were the government of Rwanda, for an example, you know, of course, Rwanda is out there now. So it's a brand, you know, that is worthy of trust now. But I'm just saying, for an example, years back, when Rwanda wasn't this known, it would take a FIFA. South Africa is a very good example. There were tons of tourists that didn't trust South Africa until 2010. When FIFA brought them to South Africa. And afterwards, you know, the rest is history on how South Africa benefited years after from that single sporting event they hosted. And that's the way it works. So in a nutshell, FIFA is more trusted than governments. And if they bring an event to your country, to your destination, the tourist believes that for FIFA to have brought it there, they must have done their due diligence. So they will come. Unlike when you are the one inviting them, they might be reluctant at first because of what they get fed on the media. So that's the way it works. So I always say that there is nothing that opens a destination to more arrivals and FDI like sporting events. It's a multi-purpose tool that opens destinations. So African countries need to start taking a look in that direction, you know, to improve our economies and for the socioeconomic benefits in it. Okay. I think it's a great way to look at this.
Okay. No, I think you've given an extensive overview and how we can do things right in Africa, you know, respect to making tourism part of it. But again, I mean, the point about the fact that working, a key point of what you said is the fact that we're working in silos, all right? And if we begin to work together, then it means that we could be able to, you know, maximize our full potential with respect to tourism, you know, and sports. Now, when you started this African sports tourism project, in the last event, what was a key outcome that you believe that leaders are still yet to touch on, or we can push for that, you know, even if it's a baby step to reach a certain goal?
Okay. I think it is still in the area of collaboration. Because we've been monitoring for every destination we host. For every destination that hosts African Sports Tourism Week, we try to keep in touch and see the impact that the event has had on the destination post-event. So I think it is still in the area of collaboration. I was happy in Ghana in 2019 when Mr. Ageman, the CEO of Ghana Tourism Authority, was saying that the president of Ghana Olympic Committee.
Okay.
Ben
Mensah.
No. it was you know, talking about how GTA had an input in the bidding documents for All African Games, which is to be hosted in Ghana in 2023. I was happy that even before we arrived, they already understood the fact that they need to work together. But then that collaboration needs to be deepened. It needs to be deepened. And for destinations where they still they still work in silo, Nigeria is a good example. We started this in 2018 in Lagos, Nigeria. Lagos hosted it again this year. And when that was last month, when the chairman of Lagos State Sports Commission came around, and also the permanent secretary of Lagos State Ministry of Tourism and Culture, Arts and Culture, came around, you know, they attended the event, and you know, they got discussing. I was extremely happy. Most people wouldn't understand the essence of my happiness, because the whole year in 2021, I spent it trying to create that much needed marriage between these two, who have been working in silos and have been reluctant to work together. So at the Africa, during the summit, African Sports Tourism Summit and Masterclass in Lagos, Nigeria, which La Liga participated in as a facilitator, I was happy to see these two, having that conversation. But then it needs to be deepened. It's not enough for us to pay lip service to these things. The collaboration needs to be effected. It needs to be taken into action. It needs to be taken into action, not just words, not just that, we'll touch base on how we can work together. We need to start working together. So I think for now, we really can't discuss much on sports tourism strategy and all, because first and foremost, administrators need to come to the understanding that they are partners in progress and they need to start working together. After then, we can then start discussing sports tourism strategy, you know, custom made for each destination. So, in a nutshell, that is one area we're still trying to push for, so that we can have more destinations where sport and tourism administrators are working together and they understand that they are partners in progress.
Okay, excellent. Now, for anyone listening to you, he or she could feel how passionate you are about sports and tourism. And let's zoom in on what is the way forward for the African, because you've been pushing this agenda a lot. I mean, one man person who've been pushing to see that we can be able to, explore. And again, look, the African Cup is coming up right now, okay? And we've held the Cup of Nations and many other sports tournaments, you know, in the region. And after the event, you realize that, you know, there are conversations of what happened thereafter. Now, we're going to 2022, okay? If you are to advise us generally and what we can do in even the level step that we need to take, what would that thing be? Again, even before you go to that, what's your take on the situation of FIFA and European football club association, trying to push the African authorities to shift the African Cup of Nations?
I think that is very unnecessary and discriminatory. I think if Premiership, English Premiership can continue, there is no reason why the African Cup of Nations cannot continue. Because as it stands, but then on a second thought, they actually don't share same nature. They are two events of different natures actually, because English Premiership, with English Premiership, you can, it is controllable. I mean, football leagues now, it is very controllable because it's the same citizens or people you allow into your country at that time that can go to the stadium in certain number. Unlike a Cup of Nations, and right now there isn't much of restrictions within Africa. You know, I can go, I can attend if I want to. A lot of Africans can attend that event if they want to. So, on a second thought, you will think about it that when they've been allowed in, of course, you know, without the all the protocols, COVID-19 protocols, you know, observed, and they are all in, all the attendants, all these football spectators from different parts of the continent are already within the country. What are the mechanisms put in place to control how they conduct themselves, you know, to ensure that protocols are, you know, are continually observed? So these are some things. So this is one area I think we need to take a look at. This is not necessarily, this does not necessarily mean that we must postpone the event. No, but it calls for attention. This calls for attention. We need to take a look at that area because it's important. However, I also don't believe that Omicron is as dangerous as the media is painting it. It is as dangerous as the other variants we've had. And by the grace of God, Africa is where it is after almost two years. And the rest of the world are also where they are. I think the worst is now behind us. I was watching CNN yesterday, and Joe Biden, the president of America, was, you know, telling American citizens that those that are fully vaccinated can go about their holiday plans.
Okay.
So we need to start pushing in the direction of more vaccination, and for us to continue our lives, because this virus has done enough wreckage on global economy, with Africa not being excluded.
Clearly, I mean, from your submission, then you take the position of you're not in favor of a lockdown or whatever that we are having in it, because the disruption is enough, you know, especially for Africa. You know that we have a lot of informal economy, all right?
Yes, it is enough, and we need to just continue with our lives. Of course, doing what is necessary in terms of protocol, in terms of observing protocols, in terms of ensuring more vaccination, and, you know, putting plans and mechanisms in place to ensure that vaccination becomes more encouraging than it used to be. So I think those are things we need to do. We don't need to pause our lives. We've had enough. We've had enough of this. So I think we need to continue, and I don't think the AFCON Cameroon 2022 needs to be stopped or postponed. I think we can continue with it. However, authorities need to do what they need to do.
Okay, Deji. Now, as we wrap up our conversation, let me have your thoughts on next year, respect to, obviously tourism is still not out of the woods yet, but if you have to say something respect to what we can do to, if you like, shore up the huge deficit that we have now, and what you're doing for sports tourism in Africa, what would that be?
Well, I think number one thing we need right now is hope. We need optimism. And we need to, on, like I mentioned earlier, we need to first and foremost say enough to the virus. You have done enough, and now it's time for us to return to our lives. So the virus came to disrupt the ecosystem, came to disrupt the ecosystem for good and for bad. For good, it means that it has come to shake up models, business models. It came to remind us of climate change. It came to remind us of the damage we're doing to our environment and what we need to do going forward. It came to remind us of a need for sustainability in every area of our living. So that's the good part to it. And we need to take that lesson going into 2022 and, you know, put those lessons into action going forward. So I think that is most important. The lessons we learned from the pandemic in terms of business models, in terms of sustainability, when as concerns the environment and climate change and all. So we need to take those lessons going into 2022, and we need to do things differently. And most importantly, governments across Africa need to start taking a look at how we can encourage travel within Africa. It is not going to help the tourism industry if, as a Nigerian living in Lagos, I always have to prefer going all the way to the UK to, you know, going to Equatorial Guinea, that is like 2-3 hours flight away from me, just because the cheapest direct flight I can get from here is 400,000 naira. That 400,000 naira during certain seasons can take me as far as New York. So we need to take a look at air travel. We need to take a look at how policies can help aviation in Africa, so that it is cheaper to travel within Africa than to, you know, to Dubai, than to America, than to the UK and other parts of the world. Africa needs to, you know, take a second look at that. It is extremely important, because that's the only way we'll be able to keep our money amongst ourselves. Until we are able to keep our money amongst ourselves, Africa will not be able to prosper to the fullness of its potentials, of our potential. So we need to take, this is the time, and this is one of the positive part of the disruption the pandemic brought. We need to take a look at how we can, and we've had enough of lip service being paid to this. It is time for us to touch base on this, and for governments across the continent to agree that how can we travel Africa as cheap as it is to travel within Europe.
I agree with you. I mean, this is a concern that we've had several conversations on that, and we just hope that in 2022, after a certain war comes into play, because it's incredibly difficult to travel in the region, as you illustrated. Just moving from a place that's supposed to be 45 minutes from you, sometimes you have to travel to Europe or, you know, go somewhere else. So thank you so much, Prince, and I wish you all the best, and we hope that in 2022 we can pick up the conversation on sports tourism and take it from there.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure being on the podcast today.
Thank you, sir.
And Merry Christmas.